The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy. How you doing, Kelly?
Doing well. How about you?
Very well. We're going to talk about the Heat and the Celtics here momentarily, the Nuggets and the Lakers. Still to come, though, on this show today. We will have one still to come. I mean, coming up, I should say. Jake Hahn on the Stanley Cup list. Hey, I hear they're playing hockey tonight. How about that?
Allegedly, that's going to begin tonight.
Thanks for coming back, NHL. We forgot about you there for a second. Hurricanes and Panthers tonight. We'll get his thoughts on that. And, of course, the Knights, the Vegas Golden Knights, taking on the Dallas Stars in the Western Conference Finals. We'll get Jake's thoughts on that. Bill Krakenberger, unscripted with the Crack Man, which we do each and every Thursday. You know, we missed the 5-year anniversary of PASPA being ruled unconstitutional over this past weekend, so maybe I'll get Crack's thoughts on where we are 5 years later. I can almost anticipate what he's going to say. But I'm curious.
Yeah.
I'm curious. We'll keep it.
He's an interesting guy to ask that question.
He would be, yeah. So we'll get into that and whatever else he wants to talk about. So I guess that part might be scripted because I'm thinking about asking him that. It's not really scripted, but I'm just pondering it.
He was in Fuego last week, though.
He was.
It was. Boom, one thing after another.
Or we could just have him give out more restaurants for another hour. We could do that. I'm sure people would love that if you're coming into Vegas. Okay, let us begin with the Heat and the Celtics game number one. I just want to say this off top. How many times this week, Kelly, did I have some version of response, whether it was to you or any of our basketball guests, where everyone was like, oh, yes, this line is right on the series. This line is right. Oh, we're going to die on this hill. And I'm like, can you tell me why? Are you sure about that? Now, I didn't take the Heat to win outright, so let me just slow my roll, too. I did take the Heat plus the points last night. The Heat end up getting it done and winning outright, 123-116. And they take a 1-0 lead in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Celtics. They snatch home court advantage away from Boston. Didn't start out that way, though. It was a 47-47 game. It was nip-tuck. With under 5:30 left in the second quarter, by the time there were 2 minutes left in the half, the Celtics had gone on a 15-2 run to take a 62-49 lead. They led by 9 at the half, 66-57. And if you looked at the box score, they were dominating. Points in the paint for the Celtics in the first half tied a season high for a half for them. A 40-16 advantage points in the paint. They were 19-8 points off turnovers at the half. Marcus Smart had 10 assists at halftime, tying a career high for him for a half. And then within the first 4 minutes of the second half, and the Celtics had gotten it back to 12-point lead, but within the first 4 minutes of the second half, Miami had gone on a 15-6 run to tie it up at 72 apiece. They had regained a lead shortly after. In fact, the Celtics' last lead of the game would turn out to be with 6:46 left in the third quarter. Because by the end of by the end of the third quarter, the Heat led by 12. They had been down by 12 in the quarter. They led by 12 at the end after outscoring the Celtics 46-25 in the third. Let me repeat that. 46-25. They led 103-91. They did it on 17-for-26 shooting from the field in the third. As I mentioned, both teams led by 12 at different points in that quarter. Joe Mazzulla, this has been a theme on Celtics' bad games this postseason, because remember, it's very Jekyll and Hyde with this team, chose not to call a single timeout in that disastrous third quarter. Not only the postseason, really a season-long storyline with him where he lets his players, he's a penchant for trying to let his players sort things out, a la Phil Jackson with the Jordan Bulls or with the Lakers. This ain't them, though. And Joe Mazzulla ain't Phil Jackson, but that's how he tries to do it.
Yep.
By the way, I have a bigger problem. People are going to make a lot about that, which I guess I might have just done, but I have a bigger problem with him than that, which we'll get to momentarily. The Celtics, by the way, then scored the first 7 points in the first 93 seconds of the fourth quarter to immediately cut the lead back down to 5, 103-98, and you're like, oh my God, we got a ball game. The Celtics never got closer than 5. We're talking the last 10:27 of this game, with the exception of 21 total seconds when they had cut it briefly to 4 with just over 2 minutes left. But a Caleb Martin 3 and a Jimmy Butler 3 that used every part of the rim multiple times really slammed the door shut for good. He cruised in from there, 123-116. Butler ends up 34, 5, and 7 with 6 steals. Bam. 28-5. He was 9 of 13 from the floor. Six Heat players with 15 or more. First time ever in franchise postseason history. Add Strus, Vincent, Martin, and Lowry to that list of scoring 15 points or more. In defeat, Tatum 30-7, Brown 22-9-5. Both teams shot it great from the field, 54.1% for Miami, 52.5% for Boston, but Miami shot 16 of 31, 51.6% from behind the arc. And really, if you're going to shoot 16 for 31 from behind the arc, maybe nothing else matters. But just first half, second half. Boston had 15 assists and 5 turnovers in the first half, 7 assists, 10 turnovers in the second. On the other side, Miami took much better care of the ball, 9 assists, 11 turnovers in the first half, 11 assists, 4 turnovers in the second. Mentioned the Celtics dominated points in the first half, 40-16. In the second half, Miami edged Boston 24-22 in points of the paint. And then second chance points, Boston had an 11-2 edge in the first half compared with a 10-7 advantage for Miami in the second. But here's, let's get into this, because the last 4:49 of the game, Jason Tatum had 0 field goal attempts and got to the line one time. He had 4 field goal attempts in the entire second half, didn't take a single shot in the box score in the fourth. He made 3 of his 4 turnovers inside the final 3 minutes, including on back-to-back possessions with up to 2 minutes to go. And Marcus Smart, who I mentioned had 10 assists in the first half, he had 1 right at the beginning of the second half and never again. Celtics' fourth home loss of the postseason. The last 3 postseasons at home, they're 11-11. That's not a championship team, man. Undrafted free agents for Miami, Gabe Vincent, Caleb Martin, Duncan Robinson, Max Strus. We'll even throw in Haywood Highsmith. But I'm just saying, this team is, we mentioned it for a few weeks now. You can't quantify because it's deflected passes. It's loose balls. It's points off screens. It's all these random things that we don't process. And so the Jekyll and Hyde, you know, situation continues from game to game with the Celtics. Within games for the Celtics, Jason Tatum schizophrenic. I mean, what do you do here? Do you take the Celtics on the adjusted series price? Are you still that bullish on them? Then, well, it is Jekyll and Hyde. They'll come back. They have a talent advantage. It'll happen. Where do you stand now?
Yeah. I don't know. It's tougher for me to say because that was one, like I mentioned on the show yesterday, where if I thought the Heat were going to take one and that I thought game one gave them the best opportunity, that's kind of how, why I bet the series the way I bet it. Because I don't know if if I didn't have those bets, yes, I'd probably be coming in on a Celtics bet. But yeah, man, like you're talking about, it's for me, it's more, way more the Celtics problems than the Heat doing things well, right? It's Mazzulla, it's Tatum. I forget who tweeted at us the other day, but I'm like, I almost need my two hats, like Tatum defender and Tatum hater, right? It's like put my Tatum hater on a hat for a second. It's one of my big criticisms of him last week was, okay, you're playing outside of the offense by taking all of these shots, right? Well, you did the same thing yesterday. You're playing out of what the offense is supposed to be by not involving yourself whatsoever. So it's just the complete opposite of what he did the week before.
And the complete opposite of what Jimmy Butler does, which is include everybody.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Yes. The exact opposite of what Jimmy Butler does. 10 turnovers between those two guys alone, between Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, their two stars alone. Massive. They were I could talk about the Heat shot making. Like you said, they were incredible from three. Even outside of, what was it, 2-pointers outside of the paint, they were 10 for 15 on last night. Jeez. So you think of just outside of the paint, they were 26 for 47. So like that, or 46, like that's pretty insane. Can they keep that up? I doubt it, but I mean,
that was some of what people were saying after the Denver win over the Lakers in the first game, which is like, oh, could Denver do that again? Probably not. But here's the thing I just want to push back on in both. In both games, both game ones, you know, it's not like LeBron and AD didn't have great games. They did. And in this game, it's not like the Celtics didn't play great early and for a whole first half. And it's not like Tatum just disappeared, but it's not like Tatum and Brown and Brogdon didn't show up in the box score. They did. The interesting thing about this line, I'm talking about the betting line for game two, is what was the instant reaction? It actually became, instead of 8.5, we got up to 9.5 yesterday, 9 and 9.5 on the Celtics. We're seeing some comeback now. It's 8.5 in some spots again, but we have a consensus. Celtics favored by 9. So the Celtics are favored by more, and you pointed out off air, largely the reason for this, we can surmise, is this trend that everybody's throwing around, right?
Yeah.
Which is that since 2019, so just the year before the bubble, playoff home teams down 0-1 are 21-1 straight up and 20-2 against the spread. So the ATS part is the one that's that is, you know, probably what creates the line being what it is. Because if that trend doesn't exist, how would this be 9 after what you saw last night?
I mean, there's the zigzag theory crap too.
We're still talking zigzag.
Yeah, I mean, like it does get built in there a bit, but yes, I believe it's a lot of this and books preparing to get a lot of money on the Celtics because of this trend. And it's like, it's one of those trends, Gil, like we always try to say, hey, be careful with trends, right? Because a lot of them can be explained. And I think this one can be explained a bit.
Not only explained, a lot of them are random, right?
Right, yes. But okay, why does this one play out like it does? Well, often if you're a home team, you're usually the better team. If you've lost game one, all it means is, okay, you're getting another chance to win another game at home after losing game one, and you're likely going to make some adjustments. You're supposed to be the better team already. So I would think straight up in ATS, this should be a winning record anyways. Now, has this gotten ridiculous? Yes, it's gotten ridiculous.
There's also the element, forgive me if you mentioned this in there, where a team that's up 1-0 and if they're getting blown out may just capitulate in the fourth quarter, right?
Yeah.
Where they're just like, let's just sit everybody.
Right, yeah, yes, absolutely. It's a big number. It's a big number.
The thing that bothers me most about Joe Mazzulla after the break and thoughts on the Nuggets Lakers. Are they going to play some golf here at the PGA as well? Is that going to happen?
Oh, we're going. We're underway.
We're underway. In Oak Hill, we'll update the early scoreboard, early leaderboard on that. Coming up, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. They are underway at Oak Hill. I believe Morris Day once had a song about Oak Hill. Oh, no, that was Oak Tree. Early leaderboard, Kelly, and I do mean early.
Yeah.
You got Kazuki Higa at the top?
No. I flirted with a Emiliano Grillo first-round leader bit. Is he still one under?
I have him as even, but you
okay,
might
then right. He gave one back. I didn't bet anyways. Good. You know how it goes. When you get close to betting someone, but you don't,
yeah.
Now I'm actively rooting against him.
No,
I hope he puts up.
Total gambling psychology.
I hope he puts like 6 bogeys on the board.
Listen, I didn't play either of the 2 men's matches in Italy today.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, please, Iga, don't be hurt. That could be the biggest sports story in the world today, but please don't be hurt. She had to retire yesterday. Don't be hurt seriously, that is, heading into the French. But, you know, so there's this match today. I've been riding Yannick Hanfmann the whole time through Italy. Like he's been my horse throughout this whole thing. And so today I didn't play him. And so I am actively rooting for him to lose in my head so that I didn't miss an additional opportunity.
Oh, I hear you.
Total gambling psychology.
Your Oppo crew then today though.
Who am I, Oppo?
I'm getting distracted by TVs behind you. Sweden scored a goal in whatever hockey game's going on behind you. The crew downstairs there, they've been tailing the Yannick Hanfmann.
So they went rogue and bet him again?
Yeah, they bet him today.
Why are you guys going rogue? It's Medvedev. All right, we'll see. Maybe they'll get there. Now I have no problem with them winning. Now I can root for
them. Right, now you can root for them. See, that's the way it goes.
That's the way it goes.
Just like, hey, I'm happy you won your Heat bet last night.
Well,
I didn't have
you.
A bet on the game. Good
right.
bet.
That's right. I don't have no problem with anybody else winning, which, by the way, is a very apparently scarce characteristic in gambling Twitter.
It really is.
The Michigas of like not wanting someone else to win when you're not even involved is like the sickness beyond all sickness.
It's the one we say it every time, man. But it's like, dude, we're sitting at a blackjack table again.
Oh,
we is a poker table. I ain't trying to take your money.
That's right. It's so ridiculous.
Why are we talking to each other like this?
That's such a gambling 101 thing. Kazuki Higa is your early, and I do mean early leader at the PGA Championship Golf Second Major of the Year. This is at Oak Hill Country Club in Rochester, New York. Japanese player who is 3-under through four. He has a one-stroke lead over Scott Stallings, who's 2-under through three. And then there's a bunch at 1-under, Thurston Lawrence from South Africa, Ryan Fox, Australian, K.H. Lee, Adam Svensson, Davis Riley, Justin Thomas, 1-under through one. So he birdies his first hole, first big name, if you will, who's out there playing, and he birdies his very first hole. Rory McIlroy, Colin Morikawa, Brooks Koepka, they've just sort of gotten on. Koepka is even through one. Rory is even through one. Morikawa even through one.
I see one of my first-round leader bets, Wyndham Clark, is one over par. That's cool. through three.
You're very excited about that, I can see.
Yeah, I did bet. I bet Finau, Hatton, Clark, and Gary Woodland in the first round.
Do you want to flash up all your bets or again?
Yeah, we can. I didn't put the first round leaders on there, but okay. Yeah, everything I've got going: Cantlay, Finau, Sungjae Im, Cameron Smith, Tyrrell Hatton, and Keegan Bradley in the outright markets. Top 20s on Xander Schauffele. We didn't get time to it yesterday, but that's me and the great Keegs. The last time he won a major about 12 years ago, PGA Championship, so I had to put a little flyer on him back in the Northeast.
You got no facial hair there, do you?
Oh, yeah, that's a young Kelly Bidlin right there.
Wow, okay.
That's a 24-year-old or whatever Kelly Bidlin. So, yeah, top 20s on Xander, Cantlay, Tony Finau, Tyrrell Hatton, Wyndham Clark, Gary Woodland. Matchups, Finau over Day, Cameron Davis over JT Poston, Wyndham Clark over Corey Connors, Wyndham Clark over Siwoo Kim, and Hideki Matsuyama over Jordan Spieth in the all-injured matchup.
Higa just birdied again. He's 4-under through five.
That's incredible.
Kazuki Higa.
Scott Stallings, I'm not surprised to see you there. He's been a first-round leader champion.
Kazuki Higa, who's starting on the back nine today, he parred the 10th hole, and then he birdied 11, 12, 13, and 14. Oh, man.
It's pretty wild.
Nice start.
And I think we said it a little bit off the top, but yeah, there was a frost delay. We talked about the possibility of this happening the past couple days. It lasted, I think, even longer than people thought. Like, it was cold this morning. It was like low 30s this morning, frost out there. They did the whole turn on all the sprinklers to, like, wash down the frost, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right? Did that, had to take like an hour to get the course reset before they finally got people out there. But it was like, an hour and a half, 2 hour delay from when they were originally planning to start.
I mean, I know we have 67 more holes of golf to play for this guy, but like one of the things we're saying is this is about fairway accuracy. And if you can just put it in the middle of the fairway and avoid the very punitive rough, you'll go a long way. So here, and we also were saying like, oh boy, some people are saying it's the toughest course they've ever seen. The winning score, man, 4-6 under par, whatever. He's 4-under through five. So we'll see.
Hey, and there's a lot of these guys that like when you track golf like we do every week.
Oh yeah, oh
like,
it's ridiculous.
I know 95% of these names.
You don't even know them.
I have no idea who Kazuki is.
Now everybody's rooting for him just for that because no one even knows who he is. You don't even know who he is, and you look at this every day.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, Missoula. Let me pay off the Missoula thing. You know, more than the non-timeouts. Back to the Celtics. Post-game press conference, what does Joe Mazzulla always talk about? He always talks about adjustments on offense, right? It's the biggest difference between him and Ime Udoka. Ime Udoka used to talk about adjustments on defense. Mazzulla's always like, we got to take more threes, we got to take less threes, whatever it is. That's the biggest single difference, and I think he's kind of missing the point. Like, they went exhaustively yesterday about how the Celtics didn't get back on transition defense. The adjustments seem to lack on defense. Anyway, I think he's almost focused on the wrong thing at all times.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that transition defense is a thing.
Oh, I mean, that's like fundamental basketball, right? Which you learn in sixth grade, right? It's like, get back on D.
That's what, like when that. I was looking at numbers this morning from that game last night, like those really jumped out, the transition stuff.
What about tonight? Denver and the Lakers. So if the Heat and Celtics don't capture your attention, certainly game one of the Lakers and the Lakers and the Nuggets did. Nuggets 5.5-point favorites again. Total at 227.5. This opened at 223.5. They scored how many points in game one? Was it 258? I believe I'm doing the math in my head. 258. So it soared over the total. I don't know how you can play an under here. And then
I'm with you. I mean, not yet in the series.
I'm not saying like roll to play the overs, but I don't know how you can stomach an under until you see something on the court that would lead you to believe that it could be an under. What do you think? We talked about this extensively yesterday. Game one of the Lakers Nuggets was probably more confusing than any other game in terms of a takeaway, because while the Nuggets won and while Jokic could do whatever he wanted, the Nuggets shot the lights out. They hit a couple prayers. Prayers to the point where the Lakers, you know, defenders, AD's laughing and LeBron's giving a thumbs up. And yet the Lakers kept it close. But another butt on the other side, AD had a great game. LeBron had a great game. So it's not like the Lakers can say, well, this guy, I mean, our stars didn't play. They did. And the Lakers don't appear to have any answers on defense. I don't know, you know, was it a moral victory for the Lakers? There are no moral victories, I get it. But you understand what I'm saying. Like, could they have, for any loss, could they have taken away the most positive feeling? Certainly, if you watched ESPN afterwards, you felt like if you had just landed that they had won the game. So I don't know. Are you betting this preflop?
I'm not betting it preflop. Honestly, I've got my series positions. I don't know that I'll be doing a ton of game-by-game betting. However, I did come in on the Lakers to, what, win in six, win in seven after game one. So obviously, yes, I lean that side a little bit tonight.
You have Boston 5 or 6 in the other
series. Boston 5 and 6 in the other series. So obviously five's going to be tough.
Five's going to be tough.
All of them are going to be tough after last night. The one thing I want to bring up real quick on Joe Mazzulla, one more thing.
Yeah.
Did you catch the quote of we won? Like, he's very stubborn in some of these in post game too, right? So did you catch the quote of him saying we won 3 out of the 4 quarters?
Oh, no, I didn't.
How do you say that after losing a playoff game? Like, he literally said that. Like,
we won 3 out of 4 quarters.
That's fine. You lost the game, man. Yeah. What does it matter? I think both these games, game ones, Denver, L.A., way more crazier. But Miami, Boston was a little like that, too, right? Like, Boston ends up closing out that first half strong. They take a sizable lead into halftime and come out in the third quarter. And that's when the Heat, you know, blow them out. And you've kind of got this new game in the fourth quarter. But both these game ones were like two different stories in two different halves.
I generally hate must-win questions, but I think they're fascinating for this.
Yeah.
Do you believe that both for the Lakers and the Celtics, game twos are must-win situations? In other words, if they lose, if the Nuggets go up 2-0, or if the Heat, obviously, getting them both on the road, if the Heat go up 2-0, that both series are effectively over, because the Lakers would have to win 4 or 5.
Celtics, absolutely. Absolutely. They lose that game, I don't know. I don't know. If they lose game two, they're falling apart clearly more than we even know, and there's no chance. Lakers, yeah, I think it's a pretty much must win, but I think they could survive.
I thought you would have gone the other way if the Celtics are that much more talented. Hockey break next with Jake Hahn next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There's a lot to bet on in the next 30 days, and for a limited time, you can subscribe to VSiN for only $9.99. That gets you insight into daily baseball best bets, NBA and NHL playoffs. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Also, a top VSiN expert's leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback on all. Sam Wesley asking about Iga Swiatek's injury. So for those who missed it, third set yesterday against Elena Rybakina in Italy, she had a thigh injury and had to withdraw. This is obviously a little before the French Open begins, a little more than a week from now. And so sort of a, you know, got to err on the side of caution. And so she withdrew. Now, the question is there more serious damage? She's getting that check today. His question, Sam Wesley's, was any immediate reaction wagers to the Iga withdrawal today, or too soon to infer something? I think it's too soon to infer, because she could be okay. Her expression wasn't that pained at the end, so hopefully she came away unscathed. Mike Alvarez, analytics schmanalytics, a wise woman once said, how do you he's talking about my mom, how do you quantify Jimmy freaking Butler? He says, seriously, I'm asking, how does one quantify a bad mofo like that?
It is incredible.
Him specifically, I don't know, but we tried with all the other random stats we gave out that Kirk Goldsberry put out for us. So shout out to him on, again, just sort of the attempt to quantify the Miami Heat screen assists, charges drawn, loose balls recovered, deflections, all of them number one for the Heat amongst postseason teams. By the way, my comparison from making that comparison, Austin Reeves to the actor Alan Ruck, who played Cameron in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. We mentioned Snoop had it yesterday. Now some other actor, Michael Warburton, is tweeting out about that. Thank you, Richard Palmer, for pointing that out. Ray Pierce, I would like to contribute to the GoFundMe account for Kelly Bidlin. That will be necessary because of constantly betting against Miami.
Yep. Thank you. We might have to fire that up.
Our listener, Mark Maynor, heels on the ground, feet on the ground. Good morning from Oak Hill for the delayed tee off. There is zero wind right now, he said.
Yeah, if you don't mind just tweeting at me every hour with weather updates for the next 4 days, that'd be great.
Michael Barboza. Greetings again, Gil. Any tennis recommendations for today? Matches are about to get going. Bummer for Iga. Looking forward to the show today. Thanks. I stayed away from both men's matches today. Thought Medvedev would finally beat Huntsman. And then I do think Tsitsipas gets by Chorich later. Chorich, I should say. Len Glauzenski. Gil, watched the entire Heat game last night. Missoula is outcoached. You never hear him discussing game strategies, always stressing energy, hustle, physicality. If you have to get your team to play with enthusiasm, they're done. It's the finals of the conference.
I think that's a great tweet. That's the part that concerns me the most, I guess, with my Celtics best. Like when we were ending last segment.
Just when you think about them, though, and that you can't have one great performance and then one bad performance.
No,
as a team, as a player, within games, 3-Jack-H-31-31 grabbed the Heat to win the East at 5-1 a couple weeks back. I don't trust the Celtics. Heat showing they can win fast-paced and slow-paced games. Spoelstra, huge advantage over Missoula. Yeah, I pointed that out many times. Wishing I had grabbed 25-1 to win it all at the same time. To win it all. Hey, Al Giannis. Hey, Gil, don't know how much you've been keeping up with the Giants this year, but this Casey Schmidt monster is batting 400 in 2 weeks and has the fastest infield assist of the season. Should we be looking at Rookie of the Year odds? Jason Weingart, unfortunately, he's also asking Jason, unfortunately, not up offshore, though. Yeah, offshore doesn't have these up on a regular basis, sadly, like the legalized ones do. So there we go. There's a shout-out to legalized sportsbooks. They have those up every day. Offshores don't necessarily. We'll read more tweets, but Jake Hahn joins us now to talk some hockey. The Stanley Cup playoffs, after a very, very deep dive numbers game investigation, reveals that the Stanley Cup playoffs resumes tonight in the Eastern Conference after a break that none of us can really explain. Jay Kahn joins us from the Fantasy Hockey Show on SiriusXM NHL and, of course, co-host of The Point there as well at JayHahn4 on Twitter. Jake, why the delay? Why did we have to go a few days without hockey?
I know it's a tough time, but part of me did need a couple days off. You know, I think two is too long though. One is okay between the second and the third round. Sometimes I need a night to maybe watch a little baseball, watch some basketball. I'm a guy that likes all sorts of sports, so it's nice to kind of take that breather. But 2 days is too long for me, guys. So I'm excited that we've got hockey back.
Me too. 2 days was too long. I'll tell you where I noticed. I'm one. Kelly had the same feeling. When the NBA, because we have multiple games a night now because it's the conference finals, we only have one game a night, and they shift the starting time earlier, that was a huge life balance thing.
I actually get sleep now.
Oh, wow.
And Jake, you don't have to lie, man. Monday when there was no NBA, I was skipping around here like the happiest guy on the planet. I'm like, I get a day off, great.
Not me.
I can watch a movie, maybe watch a show. Like this time of the year, guys, you guys know as sports fans, like I don't know. I like to consume other media as well. I have other interests outside of sports.
What?
And it can be hard. Yeah, I know. It's
Jake,
it's hard
that
to
is
believe,
not allowed but, on these parts.
But, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, summertime when it's only baseball, you get a little bit of a chance to maybe catch up on some of those things. But we've got some great conference finals in the NBA, guys. I know, both of them have gotten underway. We're a game through each of them. NHL conference finals, maybe a bit unexpected, the four teams that we got here, but I think they could be highly entertaining. So I think we might have to put the shows and the movies aside for at least the next 3 weeks to a month.
Well, let's start there. Before the season, like there's no, I know there's no answer to this question, but let's just say some mythical sports book put up final four combinations in hockey.
Yeah.
What would, I mean, there are not enough zeros to go around for this combination of four, right? I mean, like this was just off the charts. I asked you this before the conference semifinals, which is, okay, power rank these eight teams, and you had Edmonton number one. You were not alone.
Yeah.
Let's do it for these four. Let's just power rank it before we get into each conference. 1, 2, 3, 4, how would you power rank these teams?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great question. And when you're looking at these four teams, Gil, when we look at it small picture going into this year's playoffs, I think this group of four is very surprising. Not a lot of people would have had this in their brackets. If you did the bracket challenge and you tried to pick all the series all the way through. But if you look at the bigger picture, it makes a lot more sense why these teams are here. Carolina's been a perennial contender for 3 to 4 years now, always making the second round, hadn't really gotten over that hump with this version of the team. Vegas is a team that's established that their quality. They had a down year last year, but they've been a good team for a while. Dallas, a lot of people expected to be there. And Florida, I know they were an 8 seed, but they won the President's Trophy last year, and they had been building to this over the last couple of years. So when you extend the picture a little bit, it makes it a bit more sense why these four teams are here. If I were to power rank them, I would go Carolina at 1. I would go Dallas at 2, Vegas at 3, and Florida at 4. I might sound a little unfair to Florida, but I still think they're that 8 seed that has won a lot of close hockey games. Not saying they shouldn't be here, but I think they are 4 of 4, at least to start the conference final.
Yeah, the point of that question is that the betting market almost agrees with you. They flip 2 and 3, the Knights and the Stars, but they're all so close. Hurricanes are plus 225 to win it all. The Knights are plus 260. The Stars plus 310. The Panthers plus 330. So that's it. That's the only difference from plus 225 to plus 330, about as evenly matched as you will get for a Final Four. So about the Canes, the Hurricanes and the Panthers. Hurricanes minus 135 favorites here in game number 1. How do you see this tonight?
I actually jumped on an opening line a couple days ago, so it hasn't moved too much. I grabbed minus 130 for the Hurricanes here in game 1. Look, it's been established over the last few years. This is just what the Canes do. They take care of their home ice advantage, and I think that's what makes them so dangerous in this series against Florida. It's what has made them so dangerous through this run so far, is that home ice advantage. We're seeing road teams win at a very high clip, but that's not been the case in any series involving the Canes. They take care of their home ice advantage, and they tend to start these series really well, and they come ready to play. So game 1, I trust the Hurricanes in these types of spots to start series on home ice. Minus 130 is what I grabbed. I'm seeing 135 up to minus 140 in some places. I think the Canes get off to another great start and win game 1 tonight.
You take them for the series as well?
I do like the series, but I actually kind of like the series price a little bit more than I do tonight. Obviously, the other side to that is that Florida wins tonight, and then all of a sudden you get a better series price on Carolina after that. So maybe you don't make it a full bet. Maybe you make it a half bet. You see what happens tonight, and you kind of go from there. But I do like the series price. I'm seeing it hover basically around the same price we're seeing for game 1 tonight.
Okay, and then Stars and Golden Knights begins tomorrow night here in Las Vegas at T-Mobile. The Golden Knights are minus 125 in game number 1. We're showing minus 130 on the screen. Again, shop around for all of these. Andy McNeil, our guy up in Canada, said he has this series as a coin flip. How do you see this?
Yeah. He took the words right out of my mouth, Andy. He's reading my mail, because I was going to say this probably has been the most difficult series for me to try to handicap throughout the course of the playoffs so far. And it kind of feels like one of those series where you need to see a game, maybe a couple games, to really see what it's going to be like. They actually went to a shootout twice in the regular season, so I think that speaks to how close these teams are. Maybe you give Vegas the edge just because they have home ice advantage in this series. I think if you take that away, Dallas is just a slightly better team. They've got some parts that Vegas just doesn't have, including a stud defenseman in Miro Heiskanen, who can play over 30 minutes a night, and I think he's actually been the most important piece to Dallas so far. So I'm leaning Dallas here, guys, but by no means is it a confidence pick to start the series.
So it sounds like you are... Yeah, it's a little less confidence here in this series. You could see it going either way. But the Hurricanes, you are pretty strong on every which way.
Yeah, I'm going to back the Canes pretty heavy in that series. I'll ride or die with the Canes in that one. That's the confidence play right there.
All right, just from a hockey fan perspective, real quick answer. Who'd you like to see in the Stanley Cup Finals?
I think it's the Canes' time, and I would like to see Dallas make the run. I like a lot of the players on the Stars. Jamie Benn, some of those veteran guys, it would be nice to see.
Jake, always appreciate it, man. Enjoy tonight's game. Good luck.
Always great talking to you guys. Take care.
Jake Hahn, everybody, from SiriusXM. Coming back, we'll take a stab at NBA Rookie of the Year next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, laces up with a playoff parlay insurance offer. Place a one-game parlay of 4 legs or more and get back a bonus bet up to $25. If you miss one leg, enjoy the playoffs like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and parlay selection features throughout the postseason. Log in now or sign up and opt in to get back up to $25 in bonus bets if one leg in your one-game parlay falls short. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 and over, please. New customer offer. All promotions, that is, subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. So, little tennis update again for those who are looking forward to the French Open. By the way, we will do a Beating the Book French Open preview podcast with Dan Weston and hopefully Drew Dinsick as well here as the tournament approaches next week, right when the draw happens on Thursday, I believe, of next week is what we'll shoot for Roland Garros. But I mentioned, so Iga, the number one women's world tennis player, number one women's player in the world, she has to retire yesterday in Italy against Elena Rybakina in the quarters. With a thigh injury, hoping it's not more. We will see what the tests reveal today. A lot of books took down women's French Open futures, but some are back up. And we're seeing Iga still at about minus 140 to win the tournament. So that, you know, I don't know if that indicates that everybody thinks she's okay. Her expression, if you're just going by facial expression, she seemed to be doing it just as a precautionary thing. She's like, I don't know if I'm okay, but let me just get out of here just in case. The one thing that happened was Aryna Sabalenka did go down to about 3-1. So that was the one adjustment in that market. But if Iga's playing, if Iga's full strength, I'm sorry. Nobody's beating her. What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing because if this wasn't Iga, would you be like, oh, man, yeah, she quit that match yesterday?
No, because here's the thing. She doesn't. First of all, she had an injury in, what was it, Indian Wells? No, was it Indian
right.
Wells?
Yeah, she,
or
it was
Miami.
Earlier.
Miami.
Yeah, whatever it was.
She's not one to do that. You know, it's legit when she does it.
So when you thought legit there's an injury concern here?
Oh, she slid and she hit the leg. You could tell she was holding her leg during the tiebreaker in the second set. She was hoping to get out of there in the second set with a two-set victory, but she didn't. And so then she's like, do I have to play again? The men's side, what happened just now this morning is, and this was expected because he announced he had a press conference today, so you don't say I'm going to have a press conference to say I'm playing. Rafael Nadal pulling out of the French Open with a hip injury that just won't heal properly for the 14-time men's singles champion at Roland Garros to give it a try for number 15. That's just at the French. He's won 22 majors, of course. So, yeah, 36 years old, and he said, I didn't make the decision. My body made the decision.
And then what? Also, and the news that he plans to, next season, he plans to be his last, sounds like.
Yes, which, I mean, at this point, you just want him to be able to have a last hurrah and sort of go out on his own terms. I mean, Federer got to an age, 40 years old, where his body couldn't come back. I'll say it again. When I was a kid, when you were like 26 or 27, you were over the hill in tennis. Mm-hmm. These guys, and I'm talking when I say these guys, Rafa, but Roger before that, Roger Federer, Rafa Nadal, and now Novak Djokovic, they're not Hall of Famers. They're gods. They're tennis gods. Like, you can't even describe, I've said it many times, they're better at tennis than any of us are at anything. And so there's a whole generation of tennis players that didn't win any majors,
right,
really,
yeah,
because of these three guys. So that's the story. Now, how did it affect the odds? It was kind of expected. So it's like there's incremental changes. Carlos is still the short shot. Novak is still the second. Novak Djokovic is still the second short shot in this. The one sort of name that I will throw in there is Holger Nadskov-Vidas Rune. Holger Rune, who the Danish player who beat Novak here in Italy. He played great in a previous tournament here on clay also. Like, he's a sneaky guy at 7-1, but I think all those odds are proper, and it's not like this Nadal news was that big of a surprise. So it's not like it massively moved any markets at this point, but 14 wins at the French, 22 overall for Rafa Nadal. We'll see if he can have one last hurrah, one last show of brilliance here in the final stages of his career, which we can really kind of say now for sure over the next year will be the final stages of his glorious career. The lottery yesterday, obviously, if you listened to the show a couple days ago, I was just obsessed with the NBA lottery. Hey, if anybody wants to talk about lottery procedure, I'm your guy. Oh, do I love it. Victor Wembanyama, The Spurs will be the team that has the opportunity to pick him. By the way, they will take that opportunity. But how about thoughts on odds to win the NBA Rookie of the Year? Sight unseen for right. all of these yeah. guys. We don't even know who they're going to play for besides probably Wembanyama. Maybe you could speculate Brandon Miller goes, you know, or Brandon Miller and Scoot go 2-3, but maybe not even that. So just based on what you've seen and what you hear, Kelly, and we've seen Wembanyama, we've seen Scoot, we've seen obviously the college players as well. Is there a play here besides Wembanyama? I guess it's the real question.
So, that's
the only question.
That's kind of why I built it in here. Does the hype train? So okay, if it was not the Spurs, I would be way more cautious with making any kind of Wembanyama bets, because I think there's a lot of these other teams. We talk about Charlotte, Portland, right? There's already guys who are on the roster that are established as far as usage rate, like LaMelo Ball, Damian Lillard. Not like they're going to really give the ball up to a rook too often, right, as far as scoring goes. Victor Wembanyama going to the Spurs, like there is nobody really in his way from – if I'm Popovich saying, hey, like, we're starting – things are starting to revolve around Victor Wembanyama offensively and defensively, like, right now.
Yes.
Like, it is – go ahead. We're starting this right now. I think he'll still – he's still going to take some time to come along. I think Scoot Henderson, at least offensively, is going to be a little bit ahead of where he's at. But it's fascinating, man. Like, I'm not rushing to lay – -$2, like this, but this has already gone up since it's been posted.
And, so, and that has to do, I would just what you said, because it is the Spurs, there's nobody else to really take the attention. There's not another star. DeJounte's not there anymore. So, but here's the question. So -$250, you're not racing to bet this. But we saw with Paolo Banchero last year, remember this? So Paolo Banchero goes number one. A lot of us made a lot of money doing that at the NBA draft. He gets picked by Orlando, and within a second and a half of the NBA season starting, like a second and a half after it starts, he's already $7.
Yes, yeah.
So if that happened to Paolo Banchero in a betting market, imagine what could happen to Wembanyama. Let's say he comes out and he just has a great first week. Dude, he's going to be minus a bajillion.
So, and that's the point, right? Yes. Like, this is, I don't think I have a bet here. And like you said, we don't even know what teams these guys are playing on,
besides
right? Like,
besides
it's really
him.
Hard to bet it.
Yeah.
But the only bet you could make is if you're that high on Wembanyama, bet it now, because I will bet you whatever amount you want that this number only gets worse.
That's right.
This is DeMar Hamlin comeback player of the year. It's not as much as that, but like, Wembanyama's only moving one way.
I love how y'all fought me on that DeMar Hamlin thing for a minute. I'm like screaming. I'm like, did someone else almost die on the field? Did I miss that?
Hey, that was one I was trying to make cases at least.
You're like, what if Russell Wilson has this unbelievable season for the – did he die on the field? It's like things you never think you'll have to say on the air. Did he almost die on the field? Yeah. I missed that. That's just the one thing that I do want to stress, because the Banchero thing, we sat here – you know, I said a second and a half, but let's be realistic. It was less than a month into the season, right? We were like in early November. This was before Thanksgiving. We're like, how's he $7? It's November. And of course, he still wins it, right? But
right.
That's not the point.
So I think, I'm just pulling up some of the draft order right now. Like, let's say
the point being that if that can happen to Paolo Banchero, good God, what
right.
could happen to Wembanyama?
Correct. Yeah. I do think I would at least hold for now. Wait till the actual draft, because if you get a team, like, I think there's a chance if you get a team like Detroit. Let's say Detroit loves Scoot Henderson. They trade for that spot at number two, number three, whatever. Well, if they love him, I guess they're going up to number two to get him. They love Scoot Henderson. Like, that's a location where, like, it's another spot where Scoot Henderson's not going to have much to compete with, where it's going to be Scoot, here's the ball, pretty much. And they got a couple other guys on the team that want to get involved. But it's going to be his offense from day one. So maybe there's some value that opens up there. But, man, I think this only moves one way. I think it only moves one way.
And because of that, we could actually sit here and say, maybe this is just a bet against an injury then. You know, because
yeah.
short of him having a terrible season or getting hurt, come on,
And narrative, right? Like we saw it in the NBA this season. Anyway, the guy won an MVP because of it.
You don't have to race to bet it, but just know that it could be minus 1,000 in the blink. We'll come back. Bill Krakenberger, unscripted, in studio. It's a Thursday on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.